Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, let's see here. We are live. How you doing today? Are you doing good? Hey, this is Jeremiah Smith. I'm so glad to get to be with you today. Are you ready for our Sunday time together? Hey, well, things are going good for you. Are you taking care of your spirit and taking care of your feeding yourself with the Word of God and making sure that you're feeding your spirit regularly, more than like you feed your body three times a day, or you feed your spirit at least something like that each week? Well, you know, make sure that you're being here Sundays. You know, I'm here with you, and I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to your spirit, and you'll get some spiritual food each week. We're going to hit you with lots of scriptures today, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Excuse me. And I'm so glad I get to be with you. And again, my name is Jeremiah Smith, and I'm here to minister to you God's Word. And we are here each week, Sundays at 6 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And then, of course, on Sundays, if you're here, you know that at 4 p.m. Central Time, we are available to you. And we minister God's Word each Wednesday and Sunday to be a blessing to you. We just have our little time of church here. Wednesday is kind of like a Bible study, and so is Sunday. And we just kind of let the Holy Spirit have His way. And I believe God will minister to you and encourage you and come right there where you're at, wherever you're at today. You know, if you're in some other part of the world, or if you're in your car here in America, or out skating on your skates with your headphones on, or riding your motorcycle, wherever you're at, I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to you there on your couch. I believe He's getting there in your bedroom with you. That'd be a blessing to you and minister to you and comfort you today. And so that's why we're here. We try to be a blessing to you each week. And there's my wife, Sheila. How you doing, Sheila? Amen. She said awesome. And she's helping me here today. Praise the Lord. But you can catch us at those live times, and you feel free to catch us. And I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to you. If you can't catch the live services, well, don't feel sad. Don't get all teary-eyed. Praise the Lord. You can listen to the rebroadcast on Spotify. Oh, thank you for that, by the way. Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbeam, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer. You can listen to us on Pandora, Amazon Music, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, and Samsung. And if you're on YouTube, hey, how you doing out there on YouTube? I'm so glad that you've joined us, and we're here live on those two places, YouTube and Podbeam, each Sunday and Wednesday. So you're welcome to catch the live services. Now, you have to figure it into your schedule. Those are central times, 4 p.m. Central Time and 6 p.m. on Wednesdays Central Time. And if you can't catch them, just listen to the rebroadcast. And I believe those will be a blessing to you and encourage you. Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, I was last week, I was telling you about it, Wednesday or Sunday, maybe both. I was talking about how my I have a family member, Michael Studeman, and he's got a new podcast there, My Brother in Christ. And you're welcome to check that out. I did put a link on that at the website there at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. I believe it's in the live services there. You'll see Studi. I'm trying to remember if it's Truth with Studi is the name of the podcast. And check that out. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. He's going to have a new one on Tuesday. And he had a good one last Tuesday. Check that one out. And the Tuesday before, he's done a couple. And support him and be a blessing to him. But those are great podcasts. And I believe they'll be a blessing to your life. Praise the Lord. That last one was really good. And check that out and let it encourage you. And he loves the Word. And he loves God. And that's why I mentioned him to you. I believe he'll encourage you today with the Lord, through the Lord and through His Word. And of course, if you want to give, you can give. You can go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. We don't pressure you to give, but you're welcome there to join us if you'd like to give each month. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured back to you again." And so if you want to give, you can do that. You can hit the giving tab there at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. Like I said, there's no pressure to give. But if you'd like to, feel free to give there, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Let me get a drink here. She just brought that to me. Sound a little scratchy there. Amen. And of course, that's God's law. God's law, Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows," right? whatever you sow, you know, God's going to bless that back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you'd like to give, you know, you can go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam and give there. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And of course, this week we've been doing some upgrades. You'll see some things changing there, by the way. And that's why we've not been running the live podcast all the way around the clock there, but we should have those back up probably Monday. And we're just trying to upgrade some things and some things we're behind on. And so, so we can get those things caught up. And so we've been down a little bit there to kind of do some upgrades, excuse me. And so we'll have that back going. We like to play messages about each. We play them all throughout the night and the morning, and we try to play them throughout the evening, you know, and keep the word going out about 3 hours of messages back to backs, messages there on live Podbeam. And I believe they're there to encourage you and feed your spirit that way. We've had lots and lots of people come through that through our ministry. Now we've got a huge amount of followers through the live podcast because we run those back to back. And so we'll have those back up to be a blessing to you just as soon as possible. Excuse me. And we'll have that going for you. And I believe that'll be a blessing to you. And so you also might look around, see some of the things we've been upgrading. We've been upgrading on our YouTube and doing some upgrading on our website there at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. And of course, YouTube is just Jeremiah Smith Ministries. And you can watch the live services. We have about 180 messages on YouTube or something like that. You can watch the videos. And on Podbeam, we have like 340 podcasts you can go back through and look at. The Coffee with Confession. And you can check that out. And then, of course, on Fridays, we're starting a new podcast, and that's going to be called The Watch, is what it's going to be called. And we'll try to put that out this Friday and start doing those on Friday. Those will be pre-recorded, uploaded onto the website there. And what those are going to be about, it's called The Watch because it's talking about the catching away of the church, the catching away of the catching away to go to heaven and us being watching for that. You know, the Bible talks about us watching for that. And so that's what that's all about. So we're going to be talking about in those, and they're short little messages, and they're going to be talking about the things that we need to be looking for and the things, the signs of the times. And we'll take one of those each time and look at those. And of course, then I want to add, as we get through some of that, I want to add the book of Revelations. That'll be about 12 messages, 22 chapters of the book of Revelations. Those will be added for our Friday, the watch is what it'll be. And that's going to be separate. We'll keep all the other ones, but that'll be a separate thing there that you can check out. Well, that'll be a new thing that we're doing, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So it'll be called The Watch. Be looking for it on Friday. We'll try to lease it Thursday night for you. And the first one's going to be talking about why we're calling it The Watch, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. It's already done, ready to go. And we'll have that out there for you. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. And y'all stretch your hands up and pray for me. My throat, my voice there, I'm trying to work with. Praise the Lord today. Excuse me. And so we're going to get into our message. Grab your Bible, get your tablet, get your phone. Oh, and another thing I was going to mention to you there, if you're wanting me to do, and it is up there on the top, if you're listening on Podbeam, you see it there on the top there. You know, if you'd like me to do a Zoom conference, or if you'd like me to speak at your church, I can add something to your ministry some way, or if you'd like me to me on your podcast, you can email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com, and I'll see what we can fit in there. And I'd love to be a blessing to you and encourage you and help you with anything I can help you with to be a blessing to your church and to your family there. And so you might check that out and email me. We'll see what we can do and tell me what your goal is there, and I'll be glad to work with you most of the time if I can fit it in. Praise the Lord. And just email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. And you can see that in Podbeam. If you're in Podbeam, you can see it above there on the top. I try to put all those things on the top. And there's that email if you want to check that out there too. And if you have prayer requests or praise reports, email them to that same place. I do take them all seriously. I get live prayer requests and I see things, praise reports. I take those things very seriously. So email them at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com if you got a prayer request, or if you're in the comments there. I don't just pass those by. I pray for them right away when I see them in the comments. So put those in the comments. I'll check those out and pray for them right then. And of course, email me at jeremiahsministries if you'd rather email me with your prayer requests. I do take those seriously. Now, I'm not going to just pray for it if I don't know what it is. You know, you'll have to tell me what it is. and I'll believe with you, and we'll come together and agree for your prayer request. And I try to get my wife to agree with us as well. So, you know, the Bible says when two or more gather together and we pray, those things will come to pass. There's more power in prayer with two people. And so we agree for prayer for most all those prayer requests. So make sure that you send those, and I believe that they'll be encouraging to you and be a blessing to you as God brings those things come to pass in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, I think we got through just about everything, so let's go ahead and get into the Bible. I got my Bible. You got your Bible? You got your phone? You got your tablet? Are you ready today? Well, we're going to get into the Word today, and let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We just thank you today, Father. Father, we just ask, Father, today as we get into your presence today. Let the Holy Spirit just well up on the inside of you today. You say, well, why are you praying in tongues? Well, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just comes on you, and then sometimes you pray in tongues and he gives you an interpretation. We're just asking for his interpretation right now in Jesus' name. Oh, we just thank you, Father. There's some of you today who are listening, and you're dealing with some challenges, and you're up to your eyeballs in challenges, and you're even wanting a nostril above water right now. You know, I believe that's the Holy Spirit telling me that right now. You know, and he's already got everything prearranged. He's got everything worked out. He's going to bring you through the challenge, you know, and you need to realize that he knows beforehand all these things are coming your way. All these challenges that you're facing that are coming your way, he knows them before they get there. He saw them before they get there. And, you know, and he's already prearranged in advance how to fix those situations. And, you know, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but he's worked those things out. And you've been stressed about them. You've been worried about them. But, you know, God's not worried about them because he knew them before they came. And you need to take comfort in his peace, take comfort in his joy. Take comfort in his presence right now and just live in him. Give it to him, casting all your cares upon him. He told you not to worry. You're not supposed to be worried. He said, don't worry. He said, take no thought, right? Don't take those thoughts and worries. And he said to cast them upon him and let him care for you, praise the Lord. Amen. He's got it worked out, and he knows how to make sure that your situation's going to be just fine. You know, he takes care of the birds of the air. Amen. He takes care of the animals, and he'll take care of you if you let him take care of you today, praise the Lord. He's got things already worked out. You remember Abraham, you know, when they coming up to the mountain, and they went up to the mountain and they got up to the top, you know, and he told his son, he said, God shall provide. Remember the offering there, the burnt offering? He got there, the ram was already in the thicket, and God was already making sure that ram was there when he got there, you know. And, you know, he's making sure everything's there for you and in place if you'll just trust him, depend on him, and rely on him. He shall supply all your needs, right? And he takes care of all of our needs above what we need to have. He'll make sure you're overflowing, but you have to trust him. Amen. He expects faith of us. We're talking about faith today. He expects you to have some faith in him. And he wants you to be guided and directed by his Spirit and your labors together with him. But amen, you have to have some faith. And we're going to be talking about that today, I believe, as a word for somebody. So, Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your words today. And, Father, we just ask today, Father, as we get into the word today, we ask, Father, that you flood us with light. Help us to see some stuff we never seen before. Help people to get what they need before every person listen. Help them to get everything they need, Father, spiritually before they leave today. Get that need spiritually that they're been questioned about or needing confirmation about, Father. Help them to get that need met today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' holy name. All the name above all names, every knee shall bow to his name, Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And we minister to you. We thank you for taking care of us, providing for us, being good to us every day when we get up. No matter how we feel, how things look, you've always been good to us. You've always been working behind the scenes. And Father, we thank you for being so wonderful and good to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Are you ready today? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and flip on over where we start here at 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Notice here we're supposed to walk by our faith every day, walking by our faith. Aren't you glad we get to do that? Walking by our faith. There's nothing funner, right, than walking by faith. You know, spending time with God, walking in faith, trusting in him, relying on him every day, right? That's walking in faith, isn't it? Doing what he tells us to do, believing his word, walking by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says it like this. Now the just shall live. How do we live? By faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. He don't want you to draw back. He wants you to live a life full of faith and trusting in him. Amen. So we're supposed to live our lives by faith. Not that we're supposed to walk by faith and live our lives by faith. Every day getting up and looking for that faith adventure with him every day. I love that. You know, Jerry Seville has a magazine called Adventures in Faith, right? And we're supposed to have an adventure in faith every day, you know, not looking at all the stuff. You know, not thinking about everything that's going on around us. We live in the world and we do have to deal with the things in the world, but we're supposed to be having an adventure in faith, something exciting happening to us all the time and something that we're pumped up about every day is our faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love that. Living life by faith here. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Talking about two different things there, right? He says, you must believe he is. Do you believe he is? Well, if you believe he is, you wouldn't be worried right now because he's your everything, right? He's your source for everything. Believe in he is your healer today. Believe in he's your source today. Believe in he's the God that gives you grace and favor today. He's the God that provides today. He's your everything. He's your comfort. He's your joy today, right? Think about that today. You must believe he is, and he is your everything that you need today. Oh, that's good, you know? You think about people call themselves God or lowercase g gods or serve some other god, they're just little g's. You know, they're not your everything. Can they really say that you're everything? But God, our God, he is our everything. He's our everything we need today, right? He's our source for everything, and he infuses inner strength into us. I believe some people even talking right now, he's infusing inner strength into you right now, causing you to have more joy, more peace, more excitement about your week this week, because he infuses us with inner strength. He's your everything. Right? He's your source for all that you need in your life. Amen. I don't know about you. That should be something you get thrilled to get in touch with as soon as you get up in the morning. You know, you can just say, good morning, Father. You're my everything. Amen. That's powerful to think about. You must believe that he is. Then you have to believe he's a rewarder, right? He's not one of these gods that doesn't reward you for coming to his presence and coming to him. No, he rewards you with his presence. He rewards you with presence, right? You follow him for very long, and he's going to do something nice for you because he loves you. He's a good father. I've told this story before, but I never forget going down the road. You know, when I was dating my wife right before we got married. And I was going down the highway, you know, and I was like, man, I want to do something for her. I just love her. She's so wonderful, you know, talking about my wife to my father. And he says, you know, that's how I think about you. He's thinking about doing stuff good for you all the time. He's thinking about doing great things for you. I was watching a movie not too long ago, recently here, and the gentleman, you know, he got saved and went through this whole adventure, and you know, God did some wonderful things in his life, and then he at the end of the movie, he had an illness, you know. Some of you might know what movie I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention the name of it. But at the end of it, he had basically an illness at the end, and he ended up causing him, you know, great suffering, you know, at the end, you know. But he said God, you know, caused him to suffer like he did. And I was like, no, wait a minute. This is a great movie. But I don't agree with that, because God doesn't cause you to suffer. He's not trying to make you suffer. No, he doesn't put things on you. That would be child abuse, wouldn't it? If he's putting stuff on you, trying to make you broke, trying to make your life horrible, that's child abuse, isn't it, right? That's not our Father. He's not abusing you. No, the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our book, my book says in John 10:10, says that he came to give you life, and he came to give it to you more abundantly, a good life, right? A life better than you had before. He didn't come to give you, you know, the world gets that. They get to suffering and get the challenges because the devil puts it on. But God came, he comes to heal you if you're having a challenge, give you a way of escape if you're dealing with something tough, and give you favor. Work. He's your source for everything. That's why he's so fun to serve, because he wants to take care of you. He's a good Father, right? And he wants you to come through your circumstances, and he's provided everything you need, right? I don't like it when people lie off on the Father. I don't know about you, you know, and talk about how he put this on me and put that on me and put the, no, that's not God of the Bible. There's not a scripture telling you that. No, the Bible says that he came to give you life, and he came to give it to you more abundantly. He's not putting challenges on you and hard times on you. No, he's a good Father. Bible says he has passed, prearranged, and picked for you. One translation says, living the good life. He's got a good life for you and good things, and he's provided everything you need to have a good life, praise the Lord. He's a good God. So he tells us to walk by faith, to live by faith, to please him by it, and to receive from him, you know. And he wants you to have faith to receive the things that you need to have in your life. Maybe today you're sick and ill and you're dealing with some things. He says that he wants you to have what you need. He wants you to receive from him, receive him with our faith. Well, if you're going to do that, you got to understand faith, right? To receive the things that you need to have in faith, to get your healing that you're wanting to have by faith, you got to understand how it works. And that's why we're talking about it today, right? But God loves faith. He's thrilled with faith. He's going to challenge you with your faith every day. You'll be like, hey, you want to come and have an adventure? He's going to lead you into a life of faith. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith, right? Because he wants you to have an adventure. He's trying to produce that faith in your life, draw you by the Holy Spirit into a life of faith. Amen. So we're talking about faith, and we're going to talk about what it is. We're talking about how it comes. We're still in the middle of talking how it comes, how to release your faith. We're going to get a little bit of that today, and then we'll be talking about how to feed your faith. And that's where lots of people have trouble, is feeding their faith. You say, well, why is that? We're going to talk about that, you know, but people leave their faith, you know, they go do something else. They just leave what they're doing, and they go do something, you know, they just totally forget about it because they aren't feeding it. You got to feed your faith all the time and make sure that you're taking care of it on a daily basis, right? So we're talking about faith and how it comes. We've been talking about that. We defined faith, what it is. And you say, well, you can define faith. Well, yeah, the word faith is a Greek word throughout the Bible, and it's defined as a firm persuasion. It's a belief. It's a conviction based on the Word of God. Say that with me again. It's a firm persuasion. It's a belief. It's a conviction based on the Word of God, right? Say, why are you defining it? Well, how are you supposed to use it if you don't know what it is? Amen. And we've done that with righteousness before. And, you know, you have to know what these things are, you know, so that you can use them in your everyday life. So we talked about in the last week, we were talking about hearing and acceptance of truth, how faith comes by hearing. We're going to talk about, you know, of course, releasing your faith. But one of the biggest issues with Christians today is how to release their faith. They may have tons of faith. Lots of people have faith. You know, you can throw a rock out there and lots of people have faith, but probably 9 times out of 10, they don't know how to release their faith. Amen. And we're going to talk about that today. It's not a faith problem 9 times out of 10. It's a release in your faith problem. Amen. And that's our part as Christians, right? You can believe lots of things, but you have to put your faith to work. That's important. If you want things to flow correctly and you want things to work good with your faith, you have to release your faith. And we're going to talk about that today. And some people even get confused what faith is. They think they already have it. You know, I've got faith and I don't need more faith. Well, no, that's not totally accurate. Amen. You know, sometimes they get the gift of faith confused with, you know, Bible faith. You know, the gift of faith, you know, that God gives that to us. It's one of the fruits of, or one of the spiritual gifts that's in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12:9. And you can go through and look. And as you read down through those spiritual gifts, he says, as the Spirit wills. So this is, it's a supernatural faith, right, that we do have as the Holy Spirit wills. And that's a totally different thing than normal Bible faith, you know. And he usually uses that. He'll kick that in, but it's not the norm. But he'll kick that in if he wants to protect you. He'll kick that in if it's something that he really needs to use in a certain circumstance, you know. But that's the gift of the Spirit, and we don't have any control over that. That's as the Spirit wills. But normal Bible faith, that's something we're supposed to be using and developing every day. And we're going to be talking about a little bit more of that. And Howard Carter talked about that faith is used much of the time to protect us. You know, if you don't know who Howard Carter is, he's the one that was with Lester Sumrall all the time, you know, taught Lester Sumrall a lot about the spiritual gifts, you know. He has different books on spiritual gifts. And he talked about it as a person that really understood it quite a bit, that it was the spiritual gift of faith is used many times to protect you, you know, to keep you safe, you know. And the Holy Spirit will kick in some of those spiritual gifts in times when you really need them and give you supernatural faith in certain circumstances. But we're supposed to use Bible faith all the time, and it comes quickly if we want to get faith in our lives. Let's look at that real quick here, how faith comes quickly. Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 20th verse, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So he's saying, if you have some faith, and do you know how to use it in your circumstances, then the impossible becomes possible. Isn't that good to think about? And he said it's the size of a mustard seed. Think about that today, a grain of a mustard seed. Why would he pick that? Why would he pick that size of a mustard seed? Because it's not very big, right? You don't have to have a whole lot of it. You don't have to sit there and, you know, develop a huge, and you know, you're meditating, got the CDs going, and you've got, no, if you believe it, you're firmly persuaded about it, you have Bible faith, right? You should feed it, right? We're going to talk more about that, but it doesn't take a whole lot. He refers it to as a mustard seed. A mustard seed, if you look it up, is 1 to 2 millimeters big. It's not huge. You don't have to have a huge amount of faith for your circumstances to start calling those things and speaking those things and releasing your faith right away. And Jesus did, it's common for people to say something like a mustard seed, you know, or suggest that it's something very, very small. So this is a very small seed. It's not a big seed. And it doesn't take a whole lot to change your circumstances, right? It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to change your circumstances. Now you have to hear some things, right? And faith comes quickly. Acts, the 19th chapter, the 2nd verse. Let's look at this real quick here. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Notice what he says, believed. Since you had some faith, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So they couldn't have any faith. They haven't heard anything. Hadn't heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice he also separates the baptism of the Holy Spirit with being saved, right? He says, since you believed, right? You know, and if you're a believer today, you're saved. That's what the Bible talks about, right? You're saved if you're a believer. That's what the believers are called, saved people. Amen. And if you believe, and then of course the separate experience is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they couldn't have that experience without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't have that experience without hearing some things. Amen. So they had to hear about it. And then they could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you haven't heard about it, then you don't have no faith in it. You got to hear about it. Get the word into you. I was listening to Hilton Sutton recently, and he talked about how he studied the book of Revelations, you know. And he liked to read it out loud. It said something about when you read it out loud, you can hear it. You know, like to read his Bible out loud so he could hear it, you know, get it through his ear gate, you know. And faith comes by hearing, you know, and hearing by the word of God. And you could read the Bible out loud, listen to some ministers and hear it and get the faith that you need in your circumstances. These people couldn't have faith because they hadn't heard anything. And, you know, we think back about when you got saved, you heard some things. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you heard some things. And, you know, it builds that faith on the inside of you. I remember, you know, I was, my family was telling me about that superhero Captain America movie, you know, and, you know, I was like, I don't know if I want to see that, seen many superhero movies. Like, I just don't know about that Captain America movie, you know, and my wife's like, you gotta go see this. You're going to like this. You know, I was like, I don't know about this one. You know, I was kind of being stubborn, you know, I didn't want to go to that movie. And, but they're like, it's great. You gotta go. They finally dragged me in there, you know. But, you know, I knew it was going to be good because they kept telling me it was going to be good. My expectation was out there because they kept telling me, this is going to be a good movie. You're going to like it, Dad. And I was like, okay. You know, so I go and it was a great movie, you know. But, you know, I'd heard some things. My expectation was out there. I'd already believed it was going to be a good movie before I got there because they were already telling me how good it was, you know. And it's amazing, you know, people get saved today, how important your testimony is. Think about that today. Your testimony is huge. You come and say, well, God's so good. He's so wonderful. He changed my life, set me free from drugs, set me free from alcoholism, got me on a path and changed my life. He's restored all these things. You know, people need to hear some things. That's why your testimony is so important to other people, you know, how wonderful God is and how he wants to change some things in your circumstances, make things better, you know. They hear that and they hear about a God, how good he is, you know. I remember Jesse Plessis was talking about one time he was on a airplane, you know, and he was flying and he was in first class. And there's this guy in there, you know, and he was talking to him about Jesus, you know. And he told Jesse, he said, well, what's in it for me? You know, and Jesse said, well, and he started telling him about all the things that were in there for him. And, you know, the world really wants to know what's in it for me. What's in it for me to serve God? What's different about him? And we should have a great testimony about how good the Father is. He's a good Father, you know. You shouldn't have a bad testimony about the Father. You need to spend some time with the Father. He's a good Father. And he wants to help you on a daily basis. But you should have some joy. Christians should have more joy than anybody in the world. Amen. We should have more vigor and more excitement about life than anybody in the world because we're spending time with a resurrected Jesus. Amen. Spending time with a resurrected God and spending time with the Father full of life. You should have a different step about yourself and be thrilled about life because you're spending time with the Father. Amen. Amen. You know, I remember getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. I remember my grandparents would pray for me, and, you know, I'd get sick or something like that, and they'd be beside the bed with me praying in tongues, you know, praying for me. My grandfather would just kneel beside the bed, just pray in tongues, you know. Grandma put Vicks all over me, you know, and Grandma would just sit there and pray in tongues. But their testimony, I saw their testimony and it started changing my life. And then some of my favorite ministers would talk about praying in tongues. I'm hearing things. I'm hearing about how it's important to pray like this. I'm seeing how important it is to pray like this. You parents that have kids, it's important for them to see you praying. It's important for them to see how you pray on a daily basis, you know, causing me to have faith, building faith with it. Of course, then I have the experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you know, building faith on the inside of me to have that experience. Praise the Lord. We had to hear some things, though. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice I heard some things. It's important when you hear things, you also have to accept them as truth. There's some people, you know, they just don't accept it as truth. I was looking on the internet the other day, you know, and looking up some favorite Brother Hagin videos, you know, cause I love Brother Hagin. That's the ministry I came out of, you know, and I went to school there, you know, at Rhema, you know, and I was looking up some great Brother Hagin videos. And I see all these negative comments, you know, and say, oh, look at him faking it. Look at him faking what he does. I've seen this with different ministers. It's amazing to me that people take the time to make a video out of something like that, and they call themselves Christians, but they're not walking in love, you know? And we're supposed to walk in love, you know? If you're not walking in love, the enemy loves to divide and conquer. I was just talking about that with my wife, you know, divide and conquer. If you don't agree with something, if they love Jesus and they're living their life for Jesus, it's important to walk in unity, right? Not everybody's going to agree with you. And you may not even agree with everything yourself 100%. Amen. But we're supposed to walk in unity, you know, and he likes to divide and conquer. That's why we have so many different religions and different separations within the church, you know, because we know that in the natural, that's how the enemy likes to do things in war. They like to divide and conquer. And that's exactly what the enemy's done with the church, you know. We're supposed to flow in unity and work together and walk in love. Well, I was looking at these videos, you know, and they're putting him down and all these type of things, really rude type of things, you know, and I've been with his ministry for quite some time. And I was like, wow, you know, they don't really know him or been spending much time with his ministry or even felt the presence of God in that ministry, or they would probably have a different opinion, you know. But it's important, you know, to accept things as truth once you know they're, you know, that it's something from God. They weren't accepting this as truth. Remember Jesus in his hometown? You know, he was there with people that were really familiar with him, and they didn't accept him, right? He came there with healing power. He healed a few, but he wasn't able to heal everybody because they wouldn't accept it as truth, you know? And you got to hear some things, but you have to accept it as truth. Maybe you need to hear some more things. Remember Paul talking to King Agrippa? He said, "You almost persuade me, Paul." He was trying to get him saved. He said, "You almost persuade me, Paul." And so it may take a little bit more for some people in certain areas, but you need to be persuaded. Maybe you're a Christian today, you know, and the Lord's dealing with you about prospering, and you've heard all kinds of things about prospering, and you just don't accept it as truth. Well, you need to get in the Bible and look at the scriptures and go throughout the Bible. You know, look at Abraham was a rich man, rich in gold, rich in everything. Go through, look at Solomon's temple and how he was so rich that they had to throw the silver out. You know, he had so much gold. But, you know, it's important that you study it, you look at it, and you become firmly persuaded in what God's truth is in his word. He said, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." So soul prosperity was different than physical prosperity in that scripture, but you need to understand how he wants you to prosper. He wants you to have a good life in every area. He wants you to be healthy, he talks about in those scriptures. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. You don't need to put down other people, but you need to be firmly persuaded in his truth. Amen. You get persuaded, you accept it as truth, then you can start releasing it. Amen. Releasing your faith. Oh, boy. Then things start to change in your life when you start to release your faith. You know, I started finding out how God had a destiny and how he had a future for me and how he wanted to do great things and he had a purpose and a plan for my life. I started acting on it right away, you know, and starting with my own little ways, starting to work that plan and start doing those things God had for my life. You know, I'll never forget. I was like, I don't know how to play music. So I went and I took my guitar down, traded all my audio tapes, you know, and got me a guitar, slapped a Jesus sticker on it, you know. And I started ministering through music. You know, of course, I knew I was supposed to minister, but I wasn't a great minister yet. And so I started using music to be a blessing to other people. And my dad had a sub shop, so we converted it into a coffee house at night on Friday nights. And I would get out there and play music, and I'd minister with the word, you know, on Friday nights. But I'm just working the plan. I know he has a destiny. He has a purpose for me, and I'm stepping out. I'm going to start right where I'm at, you know, and start working that plan and that purpose that he has for me. You working that plan, that purpose he has for you? You persuaded that he has a good future for you? He told Jeremiah, he says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of a future and a hope. He has a good plan for you. He even knows the number of hairs on your head, amen? And he wants you to have a good future. Well, you got to get persuaded about it, you know? Hear some things about destiny and purpose, and then you start acting on it, you know? So I started acting on it, you know? I was working in the converted that coffee house. It was so neat because I had family members that would create sheets that would go around the front of the coffee house. We'd serve coffee, and it was actually a sub shop, and serve coffee, and my brother would make cheesecakes, you know? And I would minister in there at night, you know, and I ran a curtain rod around the front of this sub shop, you know, and made it look like it was a coffee house at night and had people coming, minister the word a little bit, you know, just working with what I had. And God created more opportunities for me, and because I believed he had a purpose and a plan for us. You know, some people may not even believe he has a purpose and a plan for you. But once you believe it, you're going to start acting on it. And so it's important that we learn to release our faith, stepping out, you know, that in the number one way to step out and use your faith is by your words. Words cause things to happen, right? Let's look at James, the second chapter, the 14th verse. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and not works? Right? So you can have all the faith in the world, but unless you use your faith, then that doesn't do you any good. Think about that today. You know, you can believe God's a healer, but if you don't act on it, then he doesn't heal you. It doesn't heal anybody around you, right? You can believe God wants you to be saved all you want. Believe he wants to save me until you release your faith, then get saved. Then it doesn't change your circumstances, right? You can believe God has a destiny and a future for me, and you can be persuaded that he wants to do some wonderful things in your life, but you never step out. You never do anything. Then you never see that side of God in your life. You know, you have the faith, but you have to release your faith. Can faith save a person? No, he says there in the scripture, though a man say he have faith and not works, can faith save him? Well, no, because you can have faith, but you have to release your faith, right? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, being dead alone, is dead alone. Think about that today, though. You see somebody in need, and you know the Bible tells you you're supposed to walk in love, and he's poking at your heart. The Holy Spirit is, hey, you need to help this person. You know, it doesn't mean you have to help every person, you know, but the one the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about, right? And you know in your heart, God wants you to walk in love and treat people with love, and he's dealing with you about that particular one. You have to use your faith. You have to release your faith. What does that mean? Go get them a McDonald's or something. Go show them some love. Slide some money in their hand, you know, be a blessing to them. You say, have you done that? Yes, I have done that, you know. But it's important that we're showing love. If he's pricking at our heart about showing love, amen, and being love. And I remember during COVID, you know, I was working, you know, and this guy was asking, he came up to my car, was asking for some money, you know, and I was like, oh man, you know, dealing with COVID and all those type of things. So I pushed out some money out through the little hole of the car for him, you know, to be a blessing to him. You know, not that I'm afraid of COVID or anything like that, but of course I want to be wise and use my brains. You know, God gave us a brain for a reason. And I threw the money out through the hole, you know, to be a blessing to him, you know, but you know, being a blessing, showing love, you know, he's like trying to catch the money, you know, just tell you that because it was funny, you know, but he did get something. I was able to be a blessing to him, you know, and I remember I did that one time with a lady. I never forget. I gave another lady some money like that. And she said she had enough money for the week. It was a $20 bill, but she said that was enough money for her whole week. You know, a little thing would surprise you how it helps people and how you can be a blessing to him. Maybe today he's telling you, go encourage somebody today. You have them on your heart. Can't get them off your heart, you know. Act on your faith. Call them up and encourage them today, you know. Sometimes you just need a little encouragement, you know. And your words of encouragement might keep them from committing something they shouldn't commit or doing something they shouldn't do. You know, you're getting them back on that path. It's just the Holy Spirit reaching out through you to be a blessing to someone else, showing love. You know, it's amazing how one word can help somebody, but it's important that we speak it and we act on our faith with our words. Words are the primary way that God likes to do things is through our words, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Creative force, your words are a creative force for your life, and they cause changes to happen in your life. You know, acting in faith causes change to happen in your life by the acting on what God tells you to do. That causes real change in your life, praise the Lord. But you sitting there and just having faith doesn't do anything. You have to step out and use your faith. I remember my father would talked about how he had a wart. I believe it was most of his life. He had a wart on his finger. And he was getting a hold of the words, and he was persuaded that when he would speak the word, things would change, right? And that's Jesus saying that. That's not me saying that. The Bible says that if you speak to your mountain and be thou removed, and man, God will cause that to happen. He caused the circumstance. He spoke about a mountain because it was an impossibility. And he was saying that in an impossibility, change can happen in your life by speaking the word, right? And possibilities change by speaking the word. That's why you get fault with it every day. You'll start doing confessions one day, and the next thing you know, you don't feel like doing confessions, you know, because the enemy's fighting you so hard enough because real change is happening by what you say, you know? That's why we have Coffee with Confessions, if you haven't checked that out, you know? Coffee with Confessions is just confessions, speaking the right things over your life, You know, we're not telling you to come confess all your sins to us. No, we're speaking the word and causing real change in your life, you know. And that's what we do with music there in Coffee Confessions. Well, we should have a new one for you tomorrow. But that's what they're there for, you know, speaking the word, you know. And my father, he spoke to this wart that was on his finger. I believe it was there most of his life, like I said. And he spoke to it, and he got up the next morning, and the wart was gone. Powerful to think about, you know, words causing impossibilities to become possible. Amen. And that's what God wants to happen in your life, acting on your faith, and it produces in your life. And that words are the primary way to do that. Even when you got saved, that's how you got saved, is by what you said. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says it like this, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, those confessions being made, and believe thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So believing, having faith for, firmly persuaded, and speaking it out of your mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you have to have both. You got to believe, right? Be firmly persuaded, have some faith, and release your faith with your words. Romans 10, 9, and 10, the Amplified says it like this. I like it because it amplifies things, makes things a little more clear. But Romans 10, 9 through 10 says it like this, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart, a person believes in Christ, our Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with a mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in confirming his salvation, speaking it, causing it to happen. Wow. Powerful stuff. Speaking it, changing your eternity by what you say with your mouth. Oh, that's good to say. Your faith and your words are powerful. Amen. So we are persuaded, we believe for faith. And then what we must do, we have to speak it, praise the Lord. Like I said, that's what Coffee Confessions is all about. Check that out there. We have a bunch of them on there, and I believe there's 77 of them on there. It'd be a blessing to you and encourage you if you want to hear a new one, different scriptures and different things. You can check those out. Coffee Confessions there at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com, or just speak the word. You don't have to go there. Just speak the word every day, and God will help you with your circumstances. I remember Charles Capps told this story about how, you know, and he taught on confession lots and lots of all the time. It seemed like he was teaching on confession. If you listen to, he still has his messages that he does there, and, you know, he's passed away now, but you can listen to him on the Oasis Network or listen to his podcast. I get a drink here, but you can listen to that. And I got it all over my face. I'm sorry. But you can listen to his podcast, and he talks about confession of his words, you know, and he's telling a story about these people he knew. And they were talking about how they had this land that they were trying to get sold, you know, and they would drive by and they said, man, whatever we do, this land won't sell. No matter what we do, it's not going to sell, you know, and not speaking good things for the land, you know, that they were trying to get sold, you know. And one day they heard Charles Capps talking about the power of your words, you know. And they started speaking into it. This land's going to sell. This land's going to sell quickly. And all of a sudden, they sold the land. They were in all kinds of trouble selling it. And they started changing their confession, and then the land sold quickly. But it has a lot to do with what you're saying. What are you saying about your circumstances? How are you releasing your faith about your circumstances? Are you speaking positive things about your circumstances? Or are you speaking negative things, causing circumstances not to get better? You know, we need to release our faith for good things to happen in our life. Matthew 12, 34 says it like this, O generation of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So the things that are coming out of your mouth are what you're putting in, right? If you go, what my pastor used to say, garbage in, garbage out, right? If you're putting good things in, you're going to have a good confession about life and your circumstances. You're going to release good your faith in good ways. And like I said, the primary way to release your faith is through your words. You don't even have to leave your house to release the faith with your words, but it's important that you're releasing God's word out of your mouth, praise the Lord. You know, if you're not speaking good things, what are you speaking out of your mouth? Good confessions of faith make good things happen in your life. Do you want some good things to happen in your life? You want positive things to happen in your life? You got to start with confessions. I remember going to one of the churches I went to when I was younger, and it was one before I went to Rhema. It was, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Church on the Rock with Pastor John Benefield. And one of the things he hands you when you come in is a big sheet of confessions. You know, he's trying to teach you good confessions. You can catch John Benefield sometimes on TV. He's on there sometimes. He's on Supernatural, not to a certain time. I'm trying to remember when it was, but he, you know, he's a great minister, good teacher of the Bible. And he gives you this long confession. He's trying to get you to start speaking good things in your life right away. And that's one of the reasons why I have coffee confessions to help you have good confessions in your life. If you don't want to do them with me, there's a list. You can go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com and go through those confessions yourself on a daily basis, you know. But they're there for you to help you speak good things over your life and release your faith on a daily basis. So it's important that we're speaking good things. Having faith isn't the issue for most people. It's just they're just not releasing their faith, you know. People believe God's a good God. They believe they need to be saved. They believe that God wants good things in their life, but they don't ever release their faith. And, you know, your faith, the Bible talks about James over and over that it's dead if you don't use your faith. As a matter of fact, he talks about your mouth as a rudder, and it guides your ship which way it goes. If you want your boat to go into negative circumstances, just keep speaking the negative, right? If you want your boat to go into good circumstances and highly favored circumstances, and you're the blessed of the Lord, and you talk about, I'm blessed when I'm come in, and I'm blessed when I go out, and I'm the head and not the tail, I'm the top and not the bottom, it has to do with what you're saying on a daily basis. And so you want to make sure that you're speaking the right things on a daily basis. If you're persuaded you should walk in love and you don't walk in love, well, you know, you need to release some faith in that. Walk in love, show love, make it a priority to be a loving person. Bible says we're supposed to treat others like we treat ourselves. You know, that's releasing your faith by treating them in a loving way, you know, but that's our nature. That's who we are. You know, I hear a lot of people say, and I don't know how many I've heard recently talk about, you know, God's, you know, are right. We're just as filthy rags. You know, you hear that over and over, but the Bible says he gave you Zoe life on the inside of you. So your nature has changed since you're born again. You're a new creation when you're saved, and love should just flow out of you because your nature's changed. You're not some filthy, horrible person. Once you're saved, you have a nature of God. You want to love everybody around you, and you need to let that love flow out and just act on love. I've heard, I don't know how many times recently, you know, about people saying, oh, we're just horrible people. You know, even these are saved people. You know, you're not horrible people. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you're born again, and you have the nature of God on the inside of you. And that nature wants to show love, and he wants you to be a giving person and be a blessing to other people and acting in faith. But, you know, you have to flow with that nature of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You know, you're not that same person. You're somebody new, a new creation in Christ Jesus, praise the Lord. And we need to flow and act like that in a daily basis, praise the Lord. Amen. So Matthew 11, let's look at this real quick. Matthew 11, 13th verse, it says, and seeing a fig tree afar off and having leaves, he came to it, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So they heard it, right? So they're going to be persuaded about what's going on here with Jesus. You know, he's teaching them to have a life of faith. He's teaching them how faith works. And he's showing them particularly with your words how faith works. And he speaks to this fig tree. He's hungry. Maybe you're in a circumstance where you don't have what you need, right? And he doesn't have what he needs in the circumstances. He's hungry. He comes to this fig tree, and he speaks to this fig tree. Now, of course, this is on the negative, right? And he speaks to it, and he tells it. What does he tell the fig tree? He says, found nothing of the figs. He says, you won't have figs again, basically paraphrasing what he says. You're not going to have figs again, right? You know, just as easy, he could have spoke to it and said for it to bear figs. But, you know, he's frustrated, hungry. He says, you're never going to have figs again. Right? And then he comes back. Let's look here in Luke, the 11th chapter, 23rd verse. He says, "For verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you say in this mountain," he says, "be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you say have come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So he had what he saith. If you look at the verses before this, I believe it's the 22nd verse, just a few verses there. What happened, the reason why he's giving this lesson is because he went and spoke to the fig tree, and they came back by the fig tree, and they noticed the thing was dead. Well, he spoke to it and started working on the roots, and started working all the way to the top and killed that fig tree. You know, when you're speaking to stuff, you may not see change right away. You may not see any circumstances changing, but you're still speaking it, and things are happening. You may not feel anything. You may not feel what's going on at all, you know, but that's releasing your faith. And it works from the roots up, right? He didn't see it dead, or they wouldn't, when they came back, be so shocked when they saw this fig tree, it was dead. He told it wasn't going to bear fruit again. They came back, it was dead when they came back, you know. But it was working underneath the surface. And some of you today, you may be calling things and speaking to things, and you've been calling it for a long time, but it is working. You're just not seeing it working. And sometimes the enemy likes to get you frustrated before it comes to pass, you know. That's why we speak faith all the time, no matter what the circumstances, you call those things that be not as though they were, you know. He spoke to it. He came back and they saw this. And he gives the life lesson here to them about faith. He says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," he said, "any impossible circumstance, whatever challenge you're facing today," you know, he's talking about a mountain, an impossibility, something big, you know. Have you ever seen a mountain? That we were in Colorado looking at some mountains some time ago. I never forget when we were in Colorado, and they're just massive mountains. Of course, we saw some pretty big ones in Arizona when we were down there with my son not too long ago. But the mountains can be big. They can be huge, you know. And he's looking at an impossibility circumstance there. And he's telling him you can have this impossibility circumstance change for you with just your words. And you know, and it starts working from the bottom up, right? There's a process. And people think just because they don't have it right away that something's not happened, but there is a process. When you're calling those things, things start working and it causes things to happen. That's releasing your faith, right? With your words. It's causing change to happen on a daily basis if you're keeping up with your saying and calling the things that you need to be calling on a daily basis. Now, was this Jeremiah that wrote this? Was this Brother Hagin that wrote this? No, this is Jesus talking. He's saying your circumstances will change with the words that you have to say. Praise the Lord. So confession causes change to happen in your life by releasing your faith in confession, you know. What else works like that? Well, Jesus told us, like in Isaiah 53:5, says, "Before he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." You know, and in 1 Peter 2:24, after Jesus had gone to the cross, he says it like this in 1 Peter 2:24, says, "For who himself bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live right by unto righteousness, by whose stripes," notice the phrasing there, he says, "were healed." So it's paid for, taken care of when Jesus went to the cross. You know, lots of things are taken care of when he went to the cross. You already have a whole lot of things that have happened since he went to the cross. He freed you from sins. He paid for healing for your life. He made you righteous. You know, it's important to be speaking those things on a daily basis. I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm the healed of the Lord, right? You don't need to be saying that you're sick. You need to be getting up saying, "I am the healed of the Lord from my head to my toes." Praise the Lord. He's already paid for it. That's what you're supposed to have on a daily basis, is healing in your life, right? You know, "I'm saved." You know, the enemy comes to you, say, "I'm you're not saved. That never happened." You say, "Well, this did happen. I am saved." Praise the Lord. "And I'm forgiven. Jesus paid for my forgiveness. I'm forgiven." Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and you speak what he's already paid for. It was paid for at the cross. It's a past tense thing, and you need to be speaking it into your life on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. "So I am the healed of the Lord." Say, "I am the healed of the Lord today." If you're not feeling good today, you don't feel right, say, "I am the healed of the Lord." So we need to release our faith on a daily basis, speaking those things. God has a plan for me. He has a path for me. God wants good things for me, right? He's came to give me life and it more abundantly. He has an abundant life for me, speaking those things and calling those things that be not as though they were. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy today. Father, we thank you for your word today. Help us to release our faith on a daily basis, Father. We know that nothing pleases you but our faith. And Father, we ask that you help us, Father, to flow in your faith on a daily basis, we pray. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' holy name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. Amen. But times are flowing quickly to his coming, and it's important that you know Jesus. Praise the Lord. So if you want to know him today, just pray this with me. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe God has risen Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. You want to be saved right there where you're at? Well, pray this prayer with me right now. Father, I just believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you pray that prayer, you are saved. That's what the Bible says. Look at Romans 10, 9, and 10 if you'd like. But you are saved. I would write it down at 5 p.m. Central Time, 9:25:22. I got saved. Write it in your Bible or put it in your phone, somewhere where you won't forget it, you know, because the enemy would love to go, oh, you didn't get saved, because he wants you to go by all kinds of feelings. But the Bible says you're saved. He's made you a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you're part of the family. Welcome to the family of God. Praise the Lord. And I'd love to hear about it. That's what I live for. And what I get excited about is that you got saved. Praise the Lord. And growing spiritually. And I'd love to hear about that. Email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. Me and my wife would love to see that so we can pray for you. You can put it in the comments if you like. I'd love to see it in the comments, and we'll make sure that we're praying for you. Well, we love you. God bless you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. I'll be looking for that new podcast on Friday. Check out that, what was it called there? I'm trying to remember. Truth with Studio on Tuesday, the new one, and check out the old ones there. And of course, I'll look in the comments as I go off here today and chat with you. If you have a prayer request or a prayers report, email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. We love you. God bless you. And we hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
If you'd like to contact us for prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.